rest of the story. When the Lewis and Clark expedition returned from the wilderness to the city of St. Louis, one of their original scouts was not with them. A fellow named John Coulter, he had requested his discharge and stayed behind. He said something about wanting to become a mountain man. Well, that was 1806. In 1810, 4 years after the triumphant return of Lewis and Clark, that same John Coulter did arrive in St. Louis, and he had spent those 4 years in the hinterlands on his own, and folks back in civilization wanted to know the rest of the story. Well, John told them. He said he'd been captured by the Blackfoot Indians, hundreds of them. They'd stripped him naked. They took him out on the prairie. 30 or 40 young braves stepped forward with spears. John was given a sporting few hundred yards head start. He ran for his life. Moments later, the young braves were running after him. John maintained his lead, even widened it after a while. 6 miles ahead lay the Jefferson River. Prickly pear cactus spines stabbed into his bare feet, but he ran on. About a mile from the river, John looked back. His pursuers were now at least half a mile behind. All but one swift brave, who was very close indeed. Spitting blood from the physical stress, John spun round quickly. Caught off guard, the lone Blackfoot stumbled, hurling his spear. The point plunged into the ground, shattering the shaft. John grabbed the spear head and struggled with the brave, eventually stabbing him through the heart. But now the rest of the pack had almost caught up with him, so John, exhausted, his feet bleeding and swollen, ran on toward the river. A mile of prairie lay before him, but he made it. He plunged into the chilly Jefferson, and he swam toward a log jam that he had spotted downstream. He hid under those logs for the rest of that day and into the night as the Indians searched for him. By morning, they'd gone, and John Coulter was still naked and cold and hungry, and snow was threatening. The nearest fort was more than 200 miles away on the other side of Gallatin Mountain, and yet chewing on roots, John stayed alive, and he reached the fort in 7 days. And the civilized St. Louisans believed John Coulter until he told them the rest of the story, that he had to survive, that he had to live to tell what he'd discovered out there in the wilderness before the Blackfeet had captured him. He told the St. Louisans what he had found, and the St. Louisans laughed. They laughed at him. Old John Coulter really had him spellbound there for a while, but now they were certain that he'd spun him a yarn. For the record, John was telling the truth, not only about his miraculous flight from the Blackfoot, but about his earlier discovery as well. It's just that folks preferred to believe John's 200-mile streak through the snow rather than all of those other stories about lava formations, about petrified forests, about boiling springs, spitting streams of steaming hot water hundreds of feet into the air. That was unbelievable. John Coulter really was the first white man ever to see it. Yet for decades thereafter, it would be dismissed as a mountain man's whopper, the tallest-sounding tale of them all. Such was the incredible splendor of John Coulter's wilderness vision, the multifaceted phenomenon that nobody could believe in 1810. It's still somewhat unbelievable, but it's true. He had seen for the first time Yellowstone National Park. And now you know the rest of the story.